Pastor Mark Hammond, we've got some flyers about, you know, Mark Hammond and his ministry. We're going to put it at the back so you can collect it. Don't, you know, this is for you to give away. Pray carefully. This is done in a very good paper. Cost probably about 20, 30 cents each piece. We're going to use it to reach out to those who actually need to be Amen. Delivered, healed, and saved. Amen. There's an Israel newsletter at the back. It's time to pray for Israel again. So we've got heavy emphasis on God's plan for Israel. We are called to stand with Israel in these days. So it's also at the back. You can collect it. It's free. All right. So Mia, I'll just give it to you. Okay. I'm going to go through very quickly before I go away and today. And also next, we're going to collect your prayer needs, and I thought I'll devote a couple of Sundays to share with you how to prepare your prayer targets, because sometimes we pray, Bible says, you don't receive because you don't ask. And you ask and you don't receive. Why? Because you are planning to use it for your own fleshly benefit, and you ask amiss. So you don't receive. So it's very important. You know, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. And that is a wonderful promise, as well as it's something that should actually awaken us. Because what are you asking? We need to ask. Because when you receive what you are really asking in your heart, is it worth it? Is it what you really want? So, yeah, as Mia said, you know, last year I felt gentle nudge of the Lord, pretty clear nudge of the Lord, you know, saying, you know, 3 days, you know, set aside prayer and fast, bring people's heart request and present it before me. So that's where it all started. So this week and next week, so 23rd to 25th of January, Wednesday to Friday, I'll be in GI. Hope I won't go home, pray. A few people have already come up to me last week and say, I want to pray and fast with you during those 3 days. So wonderful. I'll be in GI Hope the whole time. You can come and join or go as you wish. There are two kinds of, I will say, aggressive form of prayer that Christians can employ. Number one is fasting, mixing with prayer. The other one Jesus did quite often and he taught is watch. Prayer, watch. So the first one, you actually let go of food, and then you give yourself to God. Because I don't know about you, when I eat, you know, after I eat, all my blood is here, it's not even there. So I'm pretty dull, right? You know, I got to recover from processing the food. So you give that time away, and you focus on the Lord. But the next one is also you're actually giving up some sleep. How many love to sleep? I mean, we all do, right? You actually voluntarily give up some sleep and then you give that time to seek God. So that's a prayer, you know, prayer night watch. You know, Pastor Kathy. Kathy's been, and Kishani's been running for years every Friday night, you know. It's a time dedicated to God. It's not convenient. It doesn't suit your need. It doesn't suit my need. It doesn't suit any of us needs. But when you set aside time and space in a concrete way to seek God, you cannot fail to be blessed in some way. Amen? And so we're going to employ all that 3 days. So what I'll say is that, you know, to Solomon, the Lord appeared and said, ask, what shall I give you? Now, suppose that question, I believe, in the spirit is actually posed to you, just like Solomon. Jesus is saying, Jesus has said in Luke's gospel and Matthew, ask and you shall receive the same thing. And we don't actually think in that term. And in inner desire and the things that we desire or wish for is not the same thing as what we concretely ask of God. And then, you know the Solomon's prayer. when the Lord appeared in a dream and said, ask, what shall I give you? In a dream, it's not your cognitive things, but what's in your heart comes out, right? You can say, theologically, this is not so good, so I'm going to ask this. No, you can't do that. In a dream, what's in your heart comes out, and what Solomon asked for, wisdom to govern God's people for God's kingdom, please God, Bible says. And God says, because your request, your heart desire, inclination, your asking, your heart set to connect with me, and what you desire from me, to receive from me, please me. And God says, because of that, I'm going to give you all the rest, long life, riches, wisdom, and honor as well. And in fact, those three things are what the people are seeking after all their life. And some attain just a little bit. But Solomon asked for, actually, when he asked for wisdom, you know what? In Hebrew, it's actually hearing heart. Let me hear your voice. I want your voice so I can obey and walk with you. And that's wisdom. Amen? And also, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, that's a great prayer. There are some, you know, when you pray, it's all good prayers. Sometimes, okay, if you are praying, God, you know, punish. Prayer of vengeance is not a good prayer. But most of the time, you ask for things, it's a good prayer. But there's a good prayer and there's a great prayer. When you pray great prayer, all the rest comes. When you pray good prayer, okay, that's just that level. So I'm asking, let's pray great prayers this year. Let's actually go through what is my heart's desire and yearning and clarify. So last week I shared from Luke 11, from Lord's Prayer. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. This is a fantastic format of your prayer life. It's not just the words to recite quickly. It really contains the healthy prayer and a spectrum that covers our spiritual needs, our real needs, not my felt needs. Often, we're so taken captive to my desire, my felt need, that we actually don't forget to pray for what my real needs are. And when you look at it, it's in petition 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and the middle is like a halfway. And you will find that with opening, you know, first three prayers is all about God. It's God-focused. God, your name be honored. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life. In fact, in our life. Now, that is the first, second, and third petition in prayer. It's very important. Because when we miss that, the rest don't really fit in. And then, daily bread, give us our... The next one is all about our needs. Isn't that good that we can talk to God about our needs? And He wants to hear us. Daily bread is what? Our physical need. Forgive. Forgiveness from God and forgiveness with one another. How many know it's not easy to live unoffended life? Carry a lot of offense. And the truth of the matter is the offense that we haven't dealt with in the past, you carry on. And it spills over into current relationships. When you're wounded here, somebody touches, you go, ah, why did you hit me? No, it was a small, normal touch. If it's unhealed, that comes as a punch. So he's saying, forgive, forgiveness. And then the next one, we don't pray much, but deliver us from the evil, do not lead us to temptation. It's a prayer for spiritual needs, deliverance. How many know Christians need deliverance from demons? Demonic influences, demonic habits, demonic propensity, demonic relationships. It's not your husband and wife, right? Nor your parents. I was thinking, you know, the parents are the, you know, not perfect, but they're the most benevolent authority that you will ever come across in your life. Is that true? Not perfect, but they want your best. And if you cannot submit, young people, there were a few young people and older as well. If you can't submit to parents, what does this say about my heart? right? Right or wrong, parents, every parents, well, as far as I know, want their children to do well. Which government will die? But anyway, but it's I'm kind of sidetracked. Temptation, deliver us. You pray that. We do need to pray on a daily basis now. So it's all about God's kingdom. It's all about God. And everything is about our, which means when I pray for my needs, the Holy Spirit, you give room for Holy Spirit to slip in somebody else's need so that it is not just me and myself and, you know, and Paul alone. And then no more, Lord. Amen. But yes, actually, every prayer that you pray for yourself is also a room. There is a room for you to enter into intercession for others. So I've asked you to actually think about this, and then, because most of our prayer centers in very narrow area, what I want, what I need, my job, you know, pay rise, my health, and then it's just all prayer is just sometimes focused on that, which is unbalanced. It really doesn't cover the rest of your needs, real needs, as well as how that blessing that you're seeking will flow into honoring God and further God's kingdom. How many know that when we are self-focused, even, and if we do not honor God with all the blessings, even the blessing we receive will actually turn into curse over time? Is that true? God can bless you with a great car, but if we are falling in love with the car more than God, that will steal your heart away. So we need to have a big picture of our prayer. All right. Now, let's read together. That was kind of really quick summary of last week. I want to share, Luke is a great chapter on prayer. And the next one, Jesus talks about, you know, Jesus is now giving them a parable about prayer. He says, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give it to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, this is Jesus teaching on prayer straight after the Lord's Prayer. So it's about the prayer about our heart, right? And this is sometimes, this is a hilarious story, okay? And Jesus sometimes trying to make a point goes overboard. And it's one of them, all right? Oh, okay, let's read that as well. And then he gives the next teaching. He says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for a bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Okay. If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? This is very revolutionary teaching on prayer from Jesus. In fact, Jesus, I will say, is radical in teaching. His view of prayer is 100% positive. Incredible. A lot of books that I read in prayer is really good. But, you know, there's a lot of chapters trying to explain why your prayer is unanswered. Jesus just says, you know, just go for it. There's no limit. Go for it. 100% positive. But the story is really funny because it's really a backdrop of old, you know, ancient Near Eastern custom where house is more like a single room, right? And your children, the whole family is stacked up, sleeping, you know, nicely in a row and sleeping. And it's a single room like a tent. So like you can lie like that, like, you know, palm, you know. All lying one after the other. So there's a door knocking and the parents are right inside sleeping. So that's the friend sleeping. And often because of the hot sun, you don't want to travel in the midst of the day. You want to start very early or start a bit late so that it is quite, you know, not unusual for people to travel until late. Because you can't go very far if you take out 12 to 4 o'clock travel, right? So you start late and then travel until late and then well into the night. And hospitality in those days is a sacred duty. I find Daryl and Aaron are excellent in hospitality. Thank you for looking after so many guest ministers and so on. So, you know, I mean many. Sorry, I just point them out because, you know, I know very well. But this is a need. It's not his need. What's the need? Friends need. So this house, the guy who's got bread, his friend has a need. And this friend, not for him, for his friend's sake, comes to his friend and asks for it. Friends need. Now, what is it? It's a definition of intercession. It's somebody that is your friend's need that you will go to your friend. Who is the friend? Now, in this case, the friend who is kind of, you know, lazy friend, who doesn't want to be disadvantaged, doesn't want to get up, doesn't want to be disturbed, but we have different friend. Heavenly Father, right? Jesus will correct this view in the next teaching, but he's saying this is humorous, right? Everybody's sleeping 12 o'clock at night, and the kids go to sleep already, sound in bed, and about midnight is the time for the most people when you just lose sleep, when you wake up. It's so hard to go back to sleep, right? You just, you know, there's a sweet hour that you gotta sleep. You miss that, oh, you just stay awake. Now, kids are there, and the friend comes and knocks on the doors. Hey, I'm sorry, my friend. And he's saying, no, my kids, everybody's asleep. Please don't disturb. Go back, come back tomorrow morning, I'll give it to you. And then he probably acts as if he didn't hear. Knocks again, knock. hey, how are you, John? You know, my friend came from long ago, he lives over there. Shh, okay, what? Just go back. And then, you know, kids are saying, Dad, what's that? It's about to awake, and you're just going to miss the whole night of sleep. And then eventually, wife elbows him and say, hey, get up, just give him something. You know, we are all awake already. Stop knocking. What? So anyway, he gets up, and his gift says, much. Now, the persistence there in Greek word, it can be translated as shamelessness. Thick face. Shamelessness. Hey, go away. I can't hear you. And then knock again. Because of their shamelessness, he will get what he wants. Persistence. When you pray, when I pray, we are very polite, have a very flowery, long, once prayer, and then we forget about it. No. He's saying, you don't have to pray long, but persistence is very important in your prayer because it locates your heart. You pray for one prayer meeting, two prayer meeting, and then it's out. It means it's not really what's important to you. But if you come back, you are pursuing it. Okay? That makes a difference. Very powerful teaching on prayer is that Jesus is saying that this is the law of the prayer life. It's the first teaching, tip, on our behalf. First tip Jesus gives. Law of prayer life, law of spiritual life, is that, let's read the red line. Do you believe that? People end up with what their heart persistently longs for. What your heart longs for. You're going to end up with that. Problem is that what our heart longs for is not worthy enough, very often, of your life. It works as a distraction rather than going straight to the Father and connect. See, when you say, why people avoid prayer meetings, prayer, is because when you're trying to pray, you have to actually face your heart. That's the first person. Because we are normally very distracted. We are happier. It's easier to be distracted than get a focus. But when you sit down, you're trying to pray, you cannot pray until you sort out your priority. What do I really want to say? What do I really want? Is that true? So that as you pray, things begin to sort out. Because that's the place where you hear God's voice. And there's a private prayer and there's also corporate prayer. You know what? The last few corporate prayers, time to time, quite often I hear the voice of God there. I hear the clear, small, quiet voice that just hits you, just drops on you. It's a sense of the fear of God comes on you. Very healthy. Too many people are not, doesn't have the sense of the fear of God, the holiness of God. Really lose track. Now, Jesus breaks down the process in three stages: asking, seeking, and knocking. Now, connected to that story. Ask. You don't go away. Continue to seek. What did you say? And knocking, my friends, remember? And you're right there. So stop knocking. Oh my, children are waking up. You're still knocking. Tuk, 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 tuk. Knocking. You hone in. Ask, seek, and find. What's the Jesus view of prayer? Yeah, absolutely. Jesus said, now this is hard to believe. Yeah? What did Jesus say? Some people receive it. He said, everyone. Everyone. Incredible teaching. Now, if these verses are all we have about prayer from the Bible, it's enough teaching for us to pray and not give up for the rest of our lives. Is that true? If these verses are the only teachings from Jesus, you believe Jesus' words is a word from God, it's enough. But there's far more. Praise God. Question. Jesus said, which of you will ask? Because not everybody asks when there are needs. We actually don't ask. We're trying to sort it out on our own. Who is asking God? And then what are we asking for? It's very important. And when we begin to pray, persistence or thick skin, face, shamelessness is a key. See, prayer, I've written it down, okay, this is my quote. Prayer is all about awakening that deepest heart cry of your heart and connecting it to Heavenly Father. Everybody has a deep heart cry. You got to rewire it and connect it to God. Amen? Because if we don't, millions of Christians do not make this connection to the Father. There's a deep heart cry. We don't connect it to the Father. We connect it to the people and everything, circumstances, wishes. And what are you going to get? Black and blue. Frustration, anger, disappointments. Because when we don't connect that deepest cry, we live a deep, sad life. Deeply sad life. Deeply seek life because there is a deep desire that your mind hasn't even figured out that you have to suppress in order to function well. It's true. In order to function, we learn to deny our certain deep desires and go on patching ourselves up. But that's not how we are to live. The deep channel. It's like a pressurized, you know, river, underground river breaking up. You know, you can build a dam and stop water from coming down. You can't stop well bubbling up from underground. The force is unstoppable. And many of us trying to ignore it. And because we ignore it, we are sick inside because we are not opening that up to the Father in our prayer language. We are sad, we are sick, we are unfulfilled because of unacknowledged and misdirected yearning of the heart. Misdirected yearning of the heart. We can direct it for some time for a project. But there is a much deeper yearning that has to come out in prayer to the Father. Amen? I mean, the testimony was wonderful, isn't it? Sometimes you weep and you don't even know why you're weeping. In a prayer meeting, sometimes the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're weeping uncontrollably. You don't even know. But what are you doing is the Holy Spirit is flowing like a river and you're connecting and pouring out your heart's yearning to the Father. And His love is coming down on you. You have no idea how much healing is taking place. How much of your future destinies are settled in the times of your own prayer. The time between you and God. Behind the door. Or in a small prayer meeting where nobody remembers that day. But Father remembers and you know. There's a profound change that's taking place in your heart because of that connection. See, when you start to pray, your spiritual desires are being awakened. There is a deep spiritual desire, but it's not awakened. So you get misdirected to things. We want to attach this passion into things, projects. But it's not awakened. You know, that's a holy desire. Truth is, when holy desire is not awakened, we live, whether you're Christian or not, we live a life of slavery to unholy desires. So your prayer life is vital. Vital. So either you live under unholy desire, tyranny of unholy desire, or you have greater holy desire awakened in you, taking authority and direction from you, taking you from A to B, the will of God, the kingdom of God, in honoring God. Amen? I was sitting there, you know, worship. Again, I felt God. We, the church, the modern church, the people, we need to live in such a way that in everything, in church as well, Paul said in, you know, Timothy says, you know, don't you know how to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the ground and the pillar of truth? We've got to live in a way, such a way to honor God in your life, in my life, in the congregation, in brotherly love. That opens up anointing for every other things, healing, revelation, everything flow when we are in the environment of honoring God. Trouble is that today we live in a time where we are all prodigals. We get what we can from God and go out to build our own life, build our own projects, ministries, desires, our own little personal visions, and don't know how to be a son in the house. I'm sorry, I'm not talking about this congregation. This is the trend of our day. Hallelujah. But everything is relationship, right? So I pray that as we pray, I'm praying, some of you might have put in prayer, you know, clarity. Some next week, and if you don't, that's fine. That's fine. Let's work for me. But as you begin to wait on God, I'm praying that the holy desire, God's will awaken in your heart. Desire to get the will of God done in your life. Kingdom of God come in your life. And the name of Jesus honored in every area of your life becomes the desire and the driving force behind your prayer request. Amen. You will keep that blessing if you formulate your prayer that way. Hallelujah. So now, I've gone through this already. The next one is saying, now remember, Jesus' teaching prayer in terms of a friend who is not really interested in you, and now he's correcting that overemphasis or correcting that point and saying that, oh, now that's perfectly good teaching about our pursuits. But you're not actually dealing with this kind of a friend. You're dealing with a heavenly Father, who is good beyond your wildest imagination. So why don't you pray? Why don't you pray? Sometimes when we get stressed, you just go and take a drive, go and play sport, de-stress. It's all good. But have you thought about actually talking to the Father? God, I need interview with you. See, when we don't know how to talk to God out of deep need and frustration, here's where it comes out to. You're going to take it out on others who are closest to you. Oh, Brother Eddie, why didn't he call me? You know, help me or encourage me or, you know, my wife. You know, why doesn't she understand what I'm going through? Yeah. But it's, something's got to be worked out inside. Now, oops, I've gone too far. All right, when you ask the Heavenly Father, Jesus is saying this. You're actually dealing with the Heavenly Father. Now, we talked about bread. Bread is what? Necessity. For you to survive, you need 3 loaves of bread or whatever. You need bread. In Malaysia, we need what? Rice. Korea, we need rice and kimchi. That's what we need to survive. If I don't eat kimchi for 3 days, I'll begin to shake. I need kimchi. But this is your necessity. But sometimes you want more than just necessity. You want some protein. You want some egg. You want some fish. Fish and chips, right? Now, if you're asking the Father for a bread or even some luxury, some egg and some fish, will he give you something that will harm you? He says, no way. Think about that before you ask. So this is the second factor. The first factor is me, my heart. Second factor you got to involve is the God who is hearing our prayer. And this is really good news. He's saying, see, parents, how many parents are here? A lot, right? More than 50%. Parents are predisposed to compassion for their children, especially when they eat. Or when they sleep, right? Do you agree, right? When you see your little one, your child, eating meal, you enjoy it. It's a sacred duty. At the same time, do you find that funny emotion, right? Compassion and love mixes and swells up. Just see the need of this little one that needs food, you know? And you want to do your best to provide the best food, the clean food, the good food, as much as you can, knowing that this child will come again and again and again and again, again and again and again for food. And the child needs ongoing need to eat food. And you're happy. It's a sacred duty for as a parent to fulfill every single time the child has this need or urge for ice cream, fish, chips as well, some McNuggets as well, right? I'm not gonna embarrass my son, but yeah. I mean, we went camping, is it? We ate a lot. So happy to cook for my son. I mean, you know, we ate for 48 hours. How many kilos of meat? 2.5 kilos plus, and then sausage 500 gram plus rice and all the other things that I'm not going to mention. We ate a lot, and a lot of my time spent in cooking with a little burner. Oh, make sure, cook. But it gives you enormous joy for the parents to see their children eat or sleep. Sleep is really good. You see their heavenly face. They're not talking anymore. Just, stay asleep. Just stay there. Make sure you breathe. But other than that, I'm happy to see you sleep. How many parents sneak in when your children are sleeping and you kiss them on the forehead? You don't even know. Don't even know. But it doesn't matter. That's our Heavenly Father. That's our Heavenly Father. In fact, in the Middle East now, that's the bread, right? That's the stone. So they look very similar. This is scorpion curled up, picture of the scorpion. It looks like an egg when it's curled up. And which of the parents will trick, okay, hey, are you hungry? Here is the bread, and you give a stone, and child breaks all his teeth and cry, go, ah, he broke his teeth. Which parents will do that? Sting of a scorpion is the most painful sting known to man. Which of the parents will say, oh, Dad, I want some egg. And you give scorpion and get stung. Child cries with unbelievable pain. And you go, ah, I tricked you, tricked you. Which parents will do that? It makes you sick, doesn't it? Just thinking of that. It makes you sick. It's not real, but it makes you sick. God is saying, compared to my goodness, your love for your children, God calls it, you being evil. You evil people. Jesus' view of humanity. I mean, you should study, a gospel, how to lose a friend. Keep saying, you being evil. Know how to give good gifts to how much more Heavenly Father. But why aren't you asking? Expecting when you ask. Amen? I'm going to have to close quickly, but it talks about the Holy Spirit. In Matthew's gospel, good things. But in Luke's gospel, it really gives an answer. What is the goodest thing that God can give you? It's Himself. The highest thing that God can give to us is Himself. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity who resides inside of you. Father is in heaven. Jesus is at His right hand. Holy Spirit comes inside saying how much. See, it means that when you pray, when you ask the Father, all your prayers are sanctioned by the good God. It is impossible for you to waste your time, even though straight after prayer, the devil will say, you just wasted 2 hours. It's impossible for you to waste time because all the prayers and answers to your prayers sanctioned by our Heavenly Father who is good beyond our wildest imagination. You end up getting God one way or other. Hallelujah. Amen? I'm going to have to close here, but there is a third factor. Maybe I'll just... Do you have 5 minutes? I'm going to just run through. Third factor is the strong man. Jesus says, when you start praying this way, expect some resistance. There is a third factor. First factor is you. Second factor is God. No problem from God's side. But you do need to enlarge your vision of the goodness of God when you pray. Have confidence when you pray. The third factor is the devil. He resists you. He's a strong man. You would have to break through and bind it. There's a principle of binding and loosing. Yeah? And how do you bind and loose? By the spoken word. There's authority that is given to us. But Jesus actually says exactly the same promise twice. Once to Peter in relation to his revelation of who Jesus is. You have a relationship with Jesus. There is an inherent authority in you. But the 2 chapters later, Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, Jesus says the same thing. In fact, he says, I'm going to give... This time, you is not singular, plural. He says, when two of you agree, oops, I'm going too far again. Two of you agree, which is two, agree is the word symphony. Spiritual agreement. When you, plural, are in agreement, spiritual agreement, and you pray persistently, guess what? You're going to bind the strong man. In fact, Jesus is the stronger man. It's very interesting. Jesus said once to disciples when he said, you know, I saw some people doing this stuff, you know, casting out demons in your name. Should I stop them? And he says, no. He who is not against us is for us. And then right here, when he talks about the strong man, he says, if you're not with me, you're against me. I was wondering, what? Two different things. What's the difference? First one, Jesus is warning against sectarianism. So you think you've got it all figured out, all packaged, the name of Jesus belongs to you only? No, don't have that sort of spirit. But the second time, when it comes to binding the strong man, you enter into the spiritual warfare, those people who are not united with you will pull back. You need to be in spiritual unity. That's why Jesus cast out all these people who are not in agreement when he's trying to heal or raise this dead person. So in the leadership or in your prayer, when you are coming against a stronghold, unless you're united, it's better actually not to be in the same, let's say, prayer group. Now, we can push it hard, but when you come against spiritual battle, you don't want Job's friends. Okay, you do need to be in absolute unity on what you're going on about. Amen? The key is unity. But the third one, I'm going to just close it with this. Do you remember when Joshua went into capture Ai, which he was persistently resisting Israelites? And God told him, you can read all about it. I'm going to put the slide up because I missed out a whole lot of stuff there. You can read it on our internet website. But God says, stretch out your arrow towards Ai. And Joshua did not withhold it until all of them were destroyed. When you're in a spiritual warfare, what is it? Your prayer life is like an arrow stretched out towards the enemy. And don't pull it back too soon. Your prayer life is the arrow of the Lord stretched out against the enemy. You keep it there until you get the full victory. Amen? How many know that we are in a season of spiritual war? And I believe the Lord put it on my heart to collect your prayers so that I can present it before you. Why I believe God is doing this? So that, see, we're coming in agreement. I'm not doing all the heavy lifting myself. We're coming in agreement. Okay? And it'll be confidential. So we don't want the Tom, Dick, and Harry say, I don't believe he's going to get what he's praying for. We don't want that kind of partner in prayer. Okay? We want to be very clear. Just the last one, Friday night, I felt God is actually giving me a checklist, saying when you receive prayers, make sure to tell people. If you're praying for financial breakthrough, just make sure that your box is ticked, right? You're tithing, or you're honoring God. Because you can pray until cows come home. If you're not honoring God with your finances, don't expect great breakthrough to take place. Tithing is a principle. I'm not saying a law in the New Testament. It is a principle of honoring God. People who withhold, you know, honoring God, tithing. I'm saying it for you, and I'll not be loved for saying this. But it's very important you honor God. Wherever area you're seeking breakthrough, you got to make sure that you honor God in that way. If you're praying for relational breakthrough, I get a feeling it's there will be quite a few for this family relational breakthrough. Are you willing to forgive and obey when God gives you a specific instruction? Now, I'm not saying just do what everybody's saying. If God gives you specific instruction, obey. Right? Make sure you walk in forgiveness or walking towards forgiveness. If you're praying for deliverance from certain oppression, are you willing to repent from certain sin that brings that oppression? Or occult or false religion. Repentance is required before full deliverance. If you're praying for divine guidance, are you willing to follow through and walk in God's ways? God says, no, this way, and go, no, 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 I'll come back. Ask you later. Don't do that. When you ask, you're actually asking. You're ready to obey. That's why you're asking. Otherwise, why are you asking, right? The next one is you're praying for spiritual gifts and power. And you're seeking it for God's honor and kingdom and God's glory. Very important. So I've gone over time, but why don't we just stand? I just want to pray for fire of God to come on our hearts. It's your journey, but as a brother and as a pastor God put in here, I want to journey with you, be with your prayer. I want to be that second factor, the extra factor that come in agreement with you for your breakthrough. Let's make sure that our life is right. Anything the Holy Spirit, the finger of God, puts in our lives, let's be willing to put it right. But let's ask the wisdom of God, the fire of God, Lord, come upon your people, spirit of wisdom and revelation, spirit of knowledge, power of God, Lord, spirit of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, spirit of counsel and might, spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Lord, we pray the Spirit of God come upon your people, Lord. We ask for your fire, the fresh fire to fall upon your people, upon the hearts of your people. Lord, that we receive, walk in victory, breakthrough. Thank you, Lord. On the cross, Jesus, you have permanently, irreversibly defeated every works of the devil, every witchcraft that's set against your people, Lord. We administer and enforce that victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for one another. Lord, we pray that your canopy over the church will be your love. Committed, covenantal love relationship, Lord, that we may walk and live under open heaven continually. Hallelujah. Speak to each of us. Why don't we just say, Lord, speak to us. Speak to me regarding your prayer target for me. Speak to me. Give me your desire for my prayer this year. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, bless you. Sorry to keep you a little longer. There's tea and coffee at the back. But let's keep this presence of God, yeah? The voice of the Lord flowing. Amen.